Welcome to the Southcrest Live podcast. If this is your first time to listen, please connect with us at www.southcrest.org for more information. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
You'll open your Bible to Matthew 24. We began last week thinking about the second coming of Jesus. I want you to understand that a lot of times we use the word second coming to mean two different things. For those of us who are believers, we believe that the church will be taken out, snatched away, raptured before the 70th week or the last 7 years that Daniel prophesied about. And so sometimes we talk about the second coming like, Jesus, we want you to come get us. The church will be taken out. And I believe that. We're going to talk about that in the coming weeks. But also the second coming means when Jesus actually comes to the earth, the world sees it. He puts an end to all unrighteousness, and he reigns for at least 1,000 years here on the earth. And so that is the second coming. We talk about the rapture, but sometimes I use those words interchangeably. And so I want you to understand now, Jesus is talking to his disciples here. He's on the Mount of Olives. Hence, we call this the Olivet Discourse. When he's talking to the disciples privately, they have asked him, when will the temple be destroyed? We talked about this last week. What will be the sign of your coming and the sign of the close of the age? Let's pick it up in verse 3, Matthew chapter 24. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the sign of the end of the age? Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you or leads you astray. For many will come in my name, saying that I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Don't you like seeing funny signs written by people? Some are very clever. Some, however, are written in a way that I don't think they really thought it through. Now, here's a few examples. In an optometrist's office, if you don't see what you're looking for, you've come to the right place. In a travel agency, go away, please. On a plumber's truck, these are my favorite ones. A straight flush beats a full house. Also, another one, if it wasn't for your plumber, you'd have no place to go. In a secondhand store, these books were owned by a little old lady who never read faster than 50 words a minute, so I guess they're not overused. Sign in a cemetery. Now, this one, I'm not sure they thought out. Persons are prohibited from picking flowers from any but their own graves. A sign in a doctor's office. Please have your symptoms ready. The doctor is very busy. Door on a plastic surgeon's office. We can help you pick your nose. Here's a notice that was sent. These are in the last two or in other places. In England, for example, a notice sent to the residents of Wilshire Parish. Due to increasing problems with litter louts and vandals, we must ask anyone with relatives buried in the graveyard to do their best to keep them in order. And finally, in Rome, in a laundry, ladies, leave your clothes here and spend the afternoon having a good time. The disciples asked Jesus, what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And this is a question they asked as they were overlooking the temple, and Jesus had told them that the temple would be destroyed. We talked about this last week, that it was one of the prophecies that proved that whatever else Jesus said is going to happen. It was to authenticate his message, but also to indicate to them that it was going to happen. But their concept, the disciples' concept of Jesus was not what the one we have, because they did not see a second coming. They believed that Jesus is teaching and preaching and healing and comforting and all of that. And they thought he was going to go ahead and render judgment and restore Israel to its rightful place. They did not understand that there was going to be a gap of time between the prophecy of Daniel, the 70 weeks of Daniel, the 69th and 70th week. There's a gap of time. But you know, just like the Old Testament prophets that spoke of the Messiah, they couldn't see the gap. They saw the mountains, but they couldn't see the gap in between. Jesus gave us even a little hint when he was reading, when he came into Nazareth and he went in the synagogue and he read out of the scroll, out of Isaiah 61. Listen to what Isaiah 61 verses 1 and 2 say. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And this is recorded in Luke 4. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good tidings to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who were bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. But when he stopped in the middle of verse 2 in Luke chapter 4. He didn't read that part and bring the vengeance of our God. It was almost like Jesus saying, I've come the first time to proclaim the gospel and set people free from sin, but the day of vengeance or the day of the wrath of God is going to come later. But he stopped right in the middle of verse 2 of Isaiah chapter 61. Therefore, Jesus gives the answer to their questions. He actually begins with the last part, what will be the end of the age? And it's interesting that Jesus answered them. First of all, he said, don't let anyone deceive you. Don't let anyone lead you astray. It's almost like he indirectly answered them and in a nonchalant way, but he's basically saying that this coming time is going to be a time of confusion, and a lot of people are going to lead you or try to deceive you and lead you astray. The word lead astray or deceived is really what the whole message is built around, because again in verse 5, he says, many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and they will deceive many or lead many astray. Verse 11, many false prophets will lead many astray. Verse 24, false Christs and false prophets will arise, show great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. So he's basically saying, you need to keep your eyes open. You need to watch. You need to be careful. You need to test everything. You need to test the spirits. You need to beware. Don't believe everything that everybody says, because it's going to be a time of confusion. And from verses 5 to 14, I personally believe that he begins talking about what we call the tribulation. Now, between Daniel's prophecy of 70 weeks, he said after 69 weeks, Messiah will be cut off. And then there's a gap of time. We're still in that gap of time. The prophets in the Old Testament did not see the time of the church. The disciples didn't even understand the church until after the day of Pentecost, when the church began. The Christians assembled and began. But he clearly indicates that this is some time at the very end. Now, I want you to understand, I don't believe the church will be here during the tribulation. I got a whole sermon on the rapture. We're going to talk about that and why I believe what I do. And if you disagree with me, that's okay. But I'm going to tell you why I believe what I believe and try to bear it out in Scripture. But the fact is, I don't believe the church will be here during the tribulation. So some of this stuff we're describing today, you're not going to have to worry about if you know Jesus as your Savior. However, the fact that this stuff is going on right now ought to tell you that it's possible that it's going to get worse. You know, I used to try to understand how a world would follow the Antichrist when he comes. However, in the last few years, I completely understand how it's going to happen. Because the world has basically become a bunch of lemmings following whoever's in the lead, and they lead them right off the cliff and they just go without asking questions. And I'll stop right there before I offend too many more people. So, I also mentioned to you last week about double fulfillment, that sometimes some of the things happening here will be happen again, and we mentioned that in last Sunday's message. So, first, let's look at right now. He's talking about the last week, the last 7 years, the last week of Daniel's prophecy, but it's already happening here. And if it's happening now, think how much worse it's going to be when the church is gone and the Holy Spirit is taken out. First, he says there's going to be deception. For many antichrists, John wrote in 1 John, many antichrists have gone out into the world. He wrote that at the close of the first century. And here Jesus said, there will be many come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. Obviously, we already know of people who've claimed to be the Messiah, and they've started all kinds of cults and propagated that. We understand that part. But and sometimes we think, well, a person that's an antichrist that John mentioned is going to be a pagan or an atheist. It's totally against Christ. But actually, the word implies fake Christ, counterfeit Christ, counterfeit Christianity. And folks, there's a lot of that today. There's a lot of counterfeit Christianity. They use the name Jesus Christ. They use the name Christian, but they don't ever talk about Jesus as the only way to be saved, that you're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, the resurrected Christ. And any organization who purports to be Christian in its outward aspects, but is opposed to the message of the gospel, is not Christian. It is not accurate. It is not true. It's fake. And how many people even today are being led astray by getting away from God's word and Jesus being the only way to be saved? Linus in Peanuts cartoon years ago confided to Charlie Brown he wanted to be a prophet when he grew up. Charlie Brown said, listen, that's nice, but most prophets today turn out to be false prophets. And Linus said, well, then I'll just be a sincere false prophet. By no means are these people who are most deceptive about anti-Christian are the people who stand up and say, I am the Messiah. But think about it, folks. We live in a day and age when we know that the answer to the world's problems, the only answer to the world's problems, is a change of heart. And the only one that can change a heart is Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit indwelling the heart. Now, how many organizations say, we have the answer, we are the way. Political parties, we are the way. Social agendas, we are the way. Education, all we need to do is educate everybody. I am for education. I are educated. But they're not the way. Jesus said, I am the way. No one comes to the Father except through me. 1 Timothy, Paul wrote, 1 Timothy 4:1, the Spirit clearly says that in later times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Those deceiving spirits are in the world today. So many people are following counterfeit religions, believing that there's another way that the church can bestow upon you forgiveness and absolution. They will tell you that communion is the only way to be saved. And so to threaten you, they'll say, we're going to withhold communion from them. Well, communion doesn't save you. Jesus Christ does. But one day, the Antichrist, by work or the power of Satan, will do all kinds of counterfeit miracles and signs and wonders. In 2 Thessalonians 2:9-10, he'll be so successful that he will deceive millions. But even now, people are so deceived into believing things that are not true. I mean, do you believe any advertisements anymore? Especially, if you look at Facebook, don't believe any of those advertisements. They even show pictures of celebrities that you would recognize, and they're talking, but if you'll read their lips and hear the narration, it's not the same. They've just filmed somebody and put them on there, and they're faking you out. And there's all kinds of, how many different ways are there to lose weight? Don't raise your hand, but how many of you bought some of that stuff? Don't raise your hand. Deception is everywhere. Jesus said there'll also be dissension. You will be hearing, as what it says in verse 6, you will be hearing, it's present. You will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. I began to research how many years of peace have been in the world. I came across an interesting study by several different people. They can't agree on the amount, but somewhere in our nation's over 240-something years old, did you know there's only been somewhere between 15 and 20 years of peace that we haven't been involved in a conflict? And in the world, you go back several thousand years, there's not been that many years where there hadn't been a war going on. Leon Trotsky once commented that anyone seeking a peaceful world picked the wrong century to be living in right now. During our lifetime, words like Rwanda, Cambodia, Chechnya, Serbia, Kosovo, Lebanon, Iraq, Kashmir, Northern Ireland, Northern Korea, Somalia, Kuwait, Israel, Gaza, the West Bank, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Iran. Obviously, we're in a world that's in conflict. On Thursday, I had to do this on Thursday so I could take a picture of it and get it on the slide for today, but I decided on Thursday I would look up a conflict map, show them just on Thursday, this is the amount of wars going on in our world right now, all the little yellow dots. That's just today. That was just on Thursday. That doesn't count the fights you had at home with one another. The conflicts. But what I want you to see is our world is always at war. Poor Miss America's never going to have world peace, is she? Some of y'all don't even know what I'm talking about there. Jesus also talks about devastation. In verses 7 and 8, he said, for nation will rise against nation. And then he says, and there will be famines, pestilences, earthquakes in various places. And all these are the beginning of birth pains, sorrow. Now, in the tribulation, it's going to be magnified, but do we have any famines going on today? We have any pestilence, any viruses and pandemics and things like that, and then earthquakes? Y'all, it's amazing how many earthquakes we have every day. In fact, this morning, about 6 o'clock, I got online, I said, I wonder how many earthquakes we've had in the last 24 hours. And you know how many? 192. 1,013 earthquakes in the past 7 days. 3,902 earthquakes in the past 30 days. 50,578 earthquakes in the past 365 days. Now, this morning, today, 6.1 earthquake in Indonesia. This week, 6.5 in Japan. This week, this month, 7.4 in Taiwan. This year, 7.7 in New Caledonia. So, again, on Thursday, I decided how many earthquakes we have on Thursday. Put the picture up there, all the little dots of the day. That just was Thursday. Now, I'm saying all that to say, you think, well, there'll be, we don't ever feel them here. But there, one website, geological website, said we had 1 million earthquakes every year. We just don't feel all of them. Sometimes when I fall down, I wonder if it shows up on those seismographs. Counts as an earthquake. I don't know. But Jesus then says, these are the birth pains. Now, you ladies have had children. You know exactly what that is. That when you find out that you are with child, the first thing you know is you think about your due date. You kind of guess at that. If on a normal pregnancy, this is your due date. And it's no pain for a while, but then as the child begins to grow, you begin to have some low intensity or some discomfort, and then you start have labor pains when the day gets closer. Sometimes they may go for several days and then they quit. And sometimes they're false labor pains that they still hurt, but they're false labor. I've been told. I've never been pregnant. Just look it. But the fact is, as time passes, the pains become more frequent and with greater intensity, and then they come rapidly, and finally, the baby is born, and you forget all that just happened. But Jesus described it. He said, the world is groaning to be redeemed. It's interesting how it's always described now as climate change. The climates do change. I don't think it's all man-made, but they do change. But the fact is, he said, it's going to get worse and worse. He goes on to say it'll be a time of desecration. In verse 9, it's a time of persecution, religious persecution. It started when Stephen was stoned and James was killed by Herod. And it's gone all through the centuries. And you can read how Christians were used as human torches, and they were thrown to lions and burned at the stake. They were mangled by wild beasts, killed by gladiators, and so forth, all through the years. But do you know that one of the most dangerous centuries for Christians has been the last 100 years? More people for Christ have been killed than all the ones killed in Rome. Thousands have been killed in Korea. Tens of thousands have been killed in Korea, martyred for their faith. And we scarcely realize the cost of discipleship in certain places of the world. We don't really have that problem here. We can meet freely and we don't think about it. We just come, and one magazine, one Christian magazine, contained the account of a young Arab who had left Islam to follow Jesus. And the magazine told his story with this footnote, quote, his body now lies buried on a hillside in his own native land. He was slain by his own relatives. We can now print his testimony because he can no longer suffer recrimination for it. We're beginning to see the day when Christianity's being mocked. We're even seeing the day when a lot of younger people, a lot of people seem to be saying, you know what, I am de-Christianizing, if that's the right word. Well, there's no such thing. You're either a Christian or you're not. You follow Jesus or you don't. Which leads to verse 10, which is a defection, and many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. Now, persecution's not bad enough, but how do you feel when you've got somebody that's been walking with you, or you got a church friend or a church person, and they walk with you, and then all of a sudden, I'm done. Not only that, I'm going to tell on you, or I'm going to turn on you. And during the tribulation time, people will die when they follow Jesus. And by the way, let me pause and say that the church will be taken out, but there will be people come to Christ during the tribulation period. We'll talk about that and how it's going to happen and who the witnesses will be. But many of them, when they come to Christ, will be executed on the spot. When a young person today does not feel the pressure, what young person today doesn't feel the pressure of the world's sneering contempt when they stand for the principles of God when it comes to purity and sexual relationships until they're married, or things of that nature? We are ridiculed and looked down upon and laughed at. Do y'all remember Irma Bombeck? Some of you my age will remember. She was a real creative writer. Listen to what she wrote. We live in a strange society where we make documentaries of serial killers, movie idols out of organized crime members, authors out of political crooks, and role models out of criminals who beat the system. I don't know when crime went from being news to entertainment, but somehow it's made the transition. Verse 11 and 12 talks about disillusionment. Many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because wickedness is multiplied, most men's love will grow cold. Is there any cynicism in the world today? Cold and brutal indifference which arises out of the teaching of false prophets. And folks, it doesn't mean these are necessarily religious people, these prophets. Some of them are. They call you, when he uses the word, but it refers to anybody who speaks with authority. It can be a philosopher, it can be a professor, it can be a scientist, it can be a statesman, those who help shape the thinking of other people. But what they will teach is the sanctity of self-interest. My rights, what's about me, what's best for me. The true prophet insists on the rights of God and Jesus Christ. The false prophet insists on the rights of the individual, me and mine. You see, these verses paint a picture of religious apostasy in the last day. Paul wrote to Timothy, said, in the last days, many will fall away. Now, John wrote in 1 John that they never were of us. He said they went out because they never were of us. I'm going to show you in a minute how that's true. But there are leaders today who are so-called Christian leaders who don't believe in the inerrancy of Scripture, and they deny the necessity of the shed blood of Jesus Christ for atonement. They deny the virgin birth. They deny the lostness of all people. They deny the reality of hell and that people without Jesus Christ are lost for eternity. They deny all of that. They are false prophets. Don't believe them. They will tell people what they want to hear. They turn after fads and popular social causes and pander to the powers that be. They support the killing of unborn babies and support gay rights and support the right of pornographers to practice their free speech. They don't preach the gospel because they don't even believe the gospel. And the scripture says because of that, wickedness will abound. Lawlessness will abound. Folks, can you believe what we're facing today? Why do we even have to vote to keep marijuana out of our community? Because, by the way, can I just chase a rabbit here? Yeah, I can. Let me tell you. Somebody called this week and said, well, I want you to know I'm voting against Proposition A, but I'm going to report you for violating separation of church and state. I didn't take that call. I sure wish I had. But the separation of church and state does not exist in any government document. If you find it, bring it to me. It doesn't exist. It's made up. It was in a letter by Thomas Jefferson. But here's the deal. We have every right to stand up in our community to protect other people and to protect ourselves. You don't see us endorsing a candidate out there. But to me, this is a moral issue. Anyway, I'm put the rabbit back in the hat now. It's unbelievable to me. I was in Lowe's this week buying some electrical supplies, and I was shocked how expensive Romex is. Electrical wire, 15 feet was $33. But here's the deal. One of our members, I was talking with him, he works there. I noticed all the wire was behind cage. It's locked in. I said, well, I guess people steal this. He said, oh, you wouldn't believe it. One man rolled up there with all those big rolls that were about $130 to $150 a piece or whatever, more than that. And he said, one man loaded up about 10 of those on a cart and walked right out the door with it. I said, well, did y'all not stop it? He said, when they get outside, there's nothing we can do. I said, are you kidding me? People grab stuff and leave. Employees, my daughter was here in one of the clothing stores, and people were grabbing stuff and walking out the door, and the employee said, we can't do anything about it. Can you imagine how it's going to be when Christians are not here? It says the love of many will grow cold. You know, when lawlessness abounds, when false teaching abounds, people get cruel. It's amazing to me how cruel human beings can be. Inhumane. When some of the psychologists today will tell you that the pulse of our time, the major problem of our age is meaninglessness. Don't know why they're here, don't know where they're going, and coldness grows, and that explains how all of the sexual sins and all of the sexual deviations and trafficking and all of that is happening because people have become heartless. But in the midst of all this bad news, I got some good news for you. Because if you look at verse 13, what's the first word in that verse? But. Anytime you see the word but, it means there's a contrast, and this was a good contrast because, but he who endures to the end shall be saved, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Now, folks, the gospel is going to be preached to all the world, but it won't be finished except at the end of the tribulation. Because it'll be a culmination or a fulfillment of Revelation 14:6. And you can read that later. Because during the tribulation, God's going to give people an opportunity to respond to him. But think about it now. We've just about taken the gospel around the world. There are people groups that still don't know him. But think of how close we are. And in light of this revelation, the character of the age, Jesus says, you need to watch, for you don't know when this day is going to happen. But here's the deal. He said the gospel is going to be preached to all the nation, but those of who come to know Christ are going to make it. Now, verse 13 has been misconstrued many times. It's been misinterpreted to mean if someone does his best to hang on and live a good, clean life, then if he endures to the end, he will be saved. No, that's not what this verse says. It says the proof that you have been saved is that you will endure to the end. You see, you didn't save yourself, did you? You don't keep yourself saved. It's God who holds on to you. And nothing can take you out of God's hand. But there are people who claim to be Christians. Now, I say this with hesitation because I don't want to make anyone doubt. And I'm not talking about you sinned this week or you had a fight with somebody this week. I'm not talking about one instance. I'm talking about the fact that people claim to know Jesus. And yet, if they hadn't told you that, you would have never known. They don't ever speak about the Lord. They don't walk in his ways. They don't talk like believers. You know, 1 John, the whole book of 1 John says there's at least three indications that you know Jesus. It'd be nice if he'd put a mark on us. But he said the three indicators are, first of all, you will have a love for God's word. You won't be looking for the latest fad. You want to know, what does God say in his word? The second thing is, your life will not be characterized by sin. Obviously, we still struggle with it, but it's not going to be, that's all you can think about. When people think about you, that's all they think about. And the third thing is, get this, you love to be with God's people. Amen. You love his church. Those people who say, I don't need the church, they don't know what they're talking about. I understand when people can't come because of they're sick or because of they have physical restraints. I understand that. We're not talking about that. I'm talking about somebody who's just flat lazy. Now you tell me what's wrong with that. I mean, every now and then we need a vacation, don't we? I do too. But to just say, I'm done with the church. You may be done for a while, but I don't think you can stay there. Jesus is saying, when you follow me, the proof that you have followed me is you'll be there till the very end. The declaration. How do you know that? How could you stand up under this kind of pressure while all this stuff is going on without the power of the Holy Spirit? You couldn't. You can't do it. You'll quit. You'll eventually say, I'm done. And people get disillusioned with the church because some of the meanest people on earth are church people. I've met them. I have. I'm not kidding. But that doesn't mean they're saved. Church people is not synonymous with Christians all the time. So the bottom line in all of this today, folks, is do you know Jesus as your Savior? Do you? Now, the folks that are here, most of you probably do. If you want to be distressed, look within. If you want to be defeated, look back. If you want to be distracted, look around. If you want to be dismayed, look ahead. But if you want to be delivered, you look up. You follow Jesus. I want more than anything for people to know Jesus Christ. And one of the surest signs of knowing him is their life is changed. You don't stay the same. You love God's people. You love his word. Your life bears out the fact that you're following Jesus, not a church. So if you don't know Jesus, today's your day. Turn from your sin. God, I confess my sin to you. I realize I'm separated from you. I confess that to you. I ask you to forgive me because Jesus died for my sin. He rose again. And Lord Jesus, I commit my life to you. I believe in you. I trust you. Two kinds of belief. We can go to the airport. I can point at an airplane and I can say, do you believe that plane will fly? And you'll say, yes, I do. And I say, good, let's get on it and go. Second word is the word believed when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You trust your life to him. Would you pray with me?
Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.